More post-debate analysis on The Andrew Lawton Show. 1:30 to 3 yesterday, we had all of the leadership candidates invited. Three decided to come down to a Southwestern Ontario-focused debate. Those were Tanya Granick-Allen, Doug Ford, and Christine Elliott. It was a great debate. We talked about infrastructure funding. We talked about how they'll deal with the carbon tax cap-and-trade discussion. We talked about school choice. We talked about rural school closing, free speech. We talked about all sorts of stuff. And one of the more active critics of a lot of the ideas that were being put forward was Paul McKeever, leader of the Freedom Party of Ontario. And I figured since we're having Deb Matthews on, we should also have another side of this as well. Paul, it's good to talk to you. Thanks so much for coming on the show today.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Andrew.
And thanks for listening, by the way. I know an hour and a half is quite an investment. I was grateful that you and many others were tuning into that debate. What was your general read on where the candidates were? Did you find they were missing the big picture of the stuff, or was it just little more nuanced details you were finding objectionable?
No, they're missing the big picture. My honest feeling was that, and I've run against Christine Elliott before. She's a local lawyer where I'm out here in my law office. But I'll tell you, as good as she may be on the health file and understanding the needs of patients, she does not bring to the table what she needs to bring to the table if she's going to run a $150 billion budget in this province.
She does have the experience card, and that's been one that she's been leaning very heavily on. She knows a lot of the files. She knows the portfolios. And in a field of people that haven't served in provincial politics before, does that not give her the credibility you're saying is missing?
I'm not saying she has no credibility. I'm just saying that I don't think the breadth of her knowledge is wide enough. For example, there's a real fixation with healthcare. That's historically been the case. Christine is not a person who would ever do anything to healthcare other than spend more on it. And we heard that from most of the candidates, in fact. Granick-Allen was basically taking the position that if there are any cuts to be found in the budget, it's not from healthcare, certainly not from education. We hear lots of talk about line-by-line this and cutting red tape, but I can honestly tell you that that is just the icing on the cake when it comes to the problems that are facing Ontario in those sectors.
Yeah, there was a story that came out today, just entirely coincidentally, that said in the past 5 years, the federal government, not the Ontario government, the federal government has spent $762,000 on Canada flag pins. And
right.
This story, I think, is the perfect example of what it is that you and I have spoken about in the past, which is that this is not a Liberal initiative. This is not a Conservative initiative. This has gone on in the Liberal government's time in office, in the federal Conservative government's time in office, and it's the kind of thing that you spend money on without even thinking. This is like the office pen budget, and it proves that when anyone starts talking about, oh, we'll go line by line, the line by line problems are that you see so much that you just couldn't possibly tackle because it's everywhere. And then you had Deb Matthews on the show 10 minutes ago basically saying, oh yeah, you know, you can do little things here, but you're never going to be able to save $16 billion. I don't think anyone's tried.
Yeah, it's true. You can do line by line, and you'll get rid of the pins and that kind of thing. However, there are huge, they're really economic problems or even philosophical problems with what they're doing that lead you to these massive budgets, massive debt situations. And as your last guest was saying, one-third of the budget, one-third of the money that the province is spending, we're dependent on transfers from the federal government. That's a really scary situation. If you look at, for example, you just take the totals for healthcare, education, welfare, and debt servicing. That's $109 billion. We've only got $100 billion in Ontario tax revenue. So even $9 billion of the $12 billion that is just interest payments is being received from the federal government. And every other ministry, all of them, whether you're talking agriculture, things to do with Indian Affairs, things to do with infrastructure, highways, you name it. It all is dealt with by that federal transfer money, or an amount equivalent to the federal transfer money, minus the $9 billion that they're spending on interest. So we can tinker around with $750,000, but we're actually dealing with a problem. I mean, consider this. Healthcare itself, it consumes 68.1% of all of the money raised by Ontario taxes. 68.1%. Education, 27.2%. Welfare, 12.4%. Those three together, and you're just about at all that's left. You know, there's nothing left in that budget. So it's okay. Yeah, we'll find a little bit of savings here and there, but it's not just about getting rid of the obvious waste and someone paying $8 for a glass of orange juice. It's about the fact that they've got a system, a long-standing problematic system, for example, in healthcare or in education, that says that there should be unlimited demand facing an artificially restricted supply. So you take healthcare, for example. They say, we're not going to spend more than this amount of money. How are we going to do that? Well, the premiers got together in 1990, and they said, let's artificially restrict the number of people we train to be physicians. And so we have a physician shortage 37 years later. Or, sorry, 27 years later.
The thing with healthcare, though, Paul, is that it is, by and large, despite being provincially administered, federally mandated. So does the federal government not owe it to provinces to give them money if they're going to look to provinces and say, this is the national healthcare system, you've got to do it, though. You've got to do the heavy lifting.
Yeah, the left likes to talk a lot about the federal aspect of things. But actually, the federal legislation, it only deals with a very small contribution of money by the federal government, and it sets terms for that money. And what it says is that everyone has to have access to health care on the same terms if it's funded with our money. Now, it's a very small percentage of the money that goes to health care, federal money, but they set those terms. What they do not do is require that the government set up a tax-funded system. They do not require that the provincial government ban private competition for healthcare. None of that is required. So there's a lot of misunderstanding about the federal system. They have very little jurisdiction. Healthcare falls largely under provincial jurisdiction, in fact, exclusively. The money that we see from the federal government is just it's kind of power of the purse. It's not really constitutional or lawmaking money.
So let's take what Deb Matthews was raising issue with, what the candidates have been facing in the leadership race for the PCs. $16 billion. Their People's Guarantee Plan is based on a costing analysis that's been done that says if the carbon tax comes in, they'll have $16 billion that'll cover everything else. They're asked, okay, how are you going to meet that $16 billion if you're not going to introduce a carbon tax? Would your answer to this be just not offer any of the things the $16 billion was supposed to cover?
Yes. That would be my answer. They're trying to buy an election the good old liberal way, which is to say, hey, we'll give you, snow tires for Pete's sake. That's one of the items they're giving away. I bought snow tires for two vehicles last year. Now I'm going to be paying for my neighbor's snow tires as well through the tax system. That's what they consider a conservative program. That's not a conservative program. That's an NDP program, if anything.
And it is interesting, just to interject there for a moment, how even when government does something that's supposed to be giving us a break, it doesn't go away. I look at e-testing as an example. It used to be this basic tax you had to pay, $30 or something, to get your car e-tested. Now they say, all right, well, it's free. Well, it's not free. You still have to get the e-testing. That service still has to be paid for. The difference is now even people who don't have cars are paying for it.
That's exactly right. Well, it's exactly
why not abolish the e-test, right?
Right. Well, that's certainly a good idea. But you take back 2002. We had Ernie Eves. What did he do? He says, people are upset that because we've deregulated the retail end of electricity, that was done under Mike Harris, and that was a good decision. But Ernie Eves said, well, we're getting rid of the Harris era. We're going back to the good old pink Tory days, and we're going to re-regulate the retail price of electricity and put a 4.3 cent cap on that price. Well, what happened? They scared away all of the private investors in power generation. And what happened as a result of that? The Liberals offered all those companies way over cost price contracts, like the ones we see now that they introduced through the Green Energy Program, not because of the environment. They weren't trying to fight climate change. They were dealing with the fact that they'd butchered all trust in the government. See, if you're building a power generation plant in Ontario, you want to make sure that after you put all that money into it, you're going to be able to make a profit on it. But the Ernie Eves, followed by Dalton McGuinty years, said, uh-oh, we can't trust them. They're going to put price caps on and we'll never make a profit. We're not going to build the plants we planned on building. And so Eves went to the gas plant manufacturers, to the windmills and et cetera, and said, tell you what, we'll pay you way above what you would otherwise get in a free market if you come and build here, and we'll give you extended contracts because we realize we've scared you away. And we'll use the pretext of fighting climate change. But that's utter nonsense.
So when Deb Matthews says you can't really find a $16 billion hole in the budget, what would you do that would save money instantly?
Oh, well, the biggest thing you could do, and we're not proposing this in the current election, but we have proposed it in three or four different opposition budgets, is that you take the healthcare system, the OHIP system in particular, the part that funds it, you take it off budget, you make it a crown corporation, and you open that to competition. Those who choose to stay in the OHIP system continue to get the same care that they get now. They pay the same price that they pay now on a per capita basis. They get the same ration service. But we would open up the service so that, for example, the scanning, I don't know if you remember this, but trucks used to come into the province offering various kinds of scans so that people could get their diagnoses done. And once they had the diagnosis, they could go to the healthcare system and say, see, I've got cancer. I don't want to wait a year for you to see that I've got cancer. Here's the scan that proves it. And so the Liberal government banned the diagnoses so that nobody was allowed to come in and offer private sector diagnoses, because then they'd be having to deal with all those sick people. What you don't know, you don't have to treat. This is the disgusting system we have right now. And so what you have to do is reopen that, let people pay out of their own pocket if they want to, or stay in the OHIP system, their choice. Nothing has to change for those who don't want it to change. But what does change is the fiscal situation, because you've taken off of the government budget, off of the general taxpayer budget, some $57.95 billion. And let the market deal with that directly, just the way you would deal with buying food or buying tires, you would buy health insurance. It would not be a part of the government budget, and right away you would not be in a deficit situation.
Paul McKeever joining me on the line, leader of the Freedom Party of Ontario. You've run in London in the past, Paul. Any idea where you're going to be running this election?
There are certain new election finances laws that might make that difficult for me to say definitively. Let's just say the last guest you had on, she'd better keep her seat warm.
All right. Thanks very much for coming on the show, Paul.
Thank you so much.
All right. When we come back in a couple of moments, I want to get your calls on this. If you heard the debate yesterday, I don't want to do general PC chit-chat, but if you heard the debate yesterday, the PC candidates' visions for their party in Ontario, what did you think? What did you think of what you heard? Who were the winners? Who were the losers? 519-643-2222, 519-643-2222. This is the Andrew Lawton Show on 980 CFPL.